And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. Well, that'd be a good thing to do in our day, wouldn't it? I tell you, we as parents need to do that more. And I was, looking out at society nowadays, I guess I was making a little bit of a joke, but not really. And God help us to get our children to the Lord. But for he was a lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples. Here we go, faith. And they could not cure him. And then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? It's pretty interesting to me. And we'll read just another verse here. But when we talk about the faith that we're talking about right here and believing God, these disciples, they're already walking with the Lord. They already believe. They already know he's the Son of God. They believe. But there's what I want to get to tonight. There's a belief that we need to have as children of God, to continue our walk with God and to continue believing God so that God will do something in our own life, in our own heart. Here's the account. He goes on to say this. Here's Jesus' answer to them of why we could not cast them out. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. So I was thinking about that grain of a mustard seed. Man, that's just not much, is it? It's a small thing. And God's given every man a measure of faith. We were able to believe for salvation. But when I got to thinking about this account and thinking just really just before we got here, I told my wife, I said, I said, I'm about to quit praying that the Lord's will be done. God, whatever you want, because I'm not comfortable when he changes the way I want to, with what I had planned. But when I got to thinking about just a little bit of faith in that grain of the mustard seed, I got to feeling pretty low as a Christian, really. Yeah. Thinking about how little my faith is and how many times I fail. And I got to thinking about salvation. How much faith does it take to be saved? And then I got to knowing this, it's really not my faith or your faith. Do you realize how you're saved? It's by the Lord Jesus Christ's faith. You say, well, I don't know if you're telling me the truth there, preacher. Well, let me prove it to you. Let's go on a little journey this evening. And what I want you to understand is we don't just have faith in Christ, but we need faith in God to take us places that only he can take us. And so let me show you something. It's pretty awesome. We may just do a little teaching tonight. I don't know. I want to preach, but we may just do a little teaching tonight. We'll see how this goes. Are you at Galatians chapter number 2? Look at verse number 16. Let's really dissect this verse together. The Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. We know that now. We can't work there. We can't be good enough for salvation. But check this out. We're not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now that didn't say faith in Jesus Christ. That says by the faith of Jesus Christ. Let's read a little bit further. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, but that we might be justified, here it is again, by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Amen. Now, I'll read it again just so you can digest it a little bit. If this is the first time you've ever heard this or recognized this or known this, this will really help you if you've ever doubted your salvation. The Bible says, again, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. That's his faith. Even we have believed, here's the part you did, You believed in Jesus Christ. You believed in His faith, essentially. You believed in the work that He did at Calvary. But it was His faith that carried that through. We're going to expound on that just a little bit more in case you're doubting. All right? So we believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. All right, drop down to verse number 20. Paul says, I am now crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, here it is, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So not only are we saved by the faith of Jesus Christ, the life we're able to live, the power that He gives us, the Holy Ghost of God working on the inside of us, does a great work so that we're able to be able to supernaturally overcome things that we could not without Him. Overcome sin. And we shouldn't serve the body of sin. It's an amazing thing that the Lord's worked in our life. This salvation, you talk about the more you dive into this thing, the more you walk out into that ocean of the Word of God, the deeper it gets, and the smaller we are. It's all about Jesus. And so we live this life of living in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Here it is. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So in case you're still doubting, turn with me all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapter number 22. I want to give you the best example I know of to back this scripture up. And then we'll try to get to the message. Genesis chapter number 22. How many of you ever read the account of Abraham and his son Isaac? Thy son, thine only son. I'll wait on you there. Hear pages turning. Praise the Lord. I want you to see the example of Christ's faith in this story. Okay, and I want you to understand that Abraham and especially Isaac had the faith that God would raise him up. The same faith that Jesus Christ had when He went to that old rugged cross. He had faith that He would get out of that thing. Get out of that grave. All right, here's what it looks like. Let's look at verse number 2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering. Think about that cross. There's the wood. And he rose up, and he went unto the place which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. So they're taking the journey. Abraham believed God. He's going. And then verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, oh, it's beautiful, abide ye here with the ass. So the two men servants, if you will, he told them, this is something we've got to do. No man can help. No man help the Lord. No man help God. He said, you stay here. And notice what he said. Abide ye here with the ass, verse 5, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. You've heard this before, right? That's faith. All right, let's read a little further. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the wood and laid it on his son. Who took that cross up that hill? That was Jesus. Nobody carried that. No, there was a man that bore that cross through the town for Jesus. But you realize they stopped there at the edge of town, right? And they put that wood on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he walked up that hill. That's what you're reading right here. So he took the fire in his hand, verse number 6, and a knife. And they went both of them together. And in verse 7, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And here's the famous verse, And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they went both of them together. You know what Isaac was doing? Pleasing his father. You know what Jesus did? Always those things that pleased His Heavenly Father. You know what God told the Son? You're the Lamb. You're the offering. All right, let's just play it out a little bit. By this time, Abraham's probably, depending on what you think about Isaac's age here, Abraham's probably 125 years old, give or take. There's depends on who you read after. Some say Isaac was likely 14, 15, 16. Some say he was 20. Some say he was 33. We don't really know. But the point being, Isaac could have not win if he didn't want to go. He could have outrun Father Abraham. 125 years old, you're not going to chase somebody down and make them do something they don't want to do. You know what Isaac did? He laid down there, believing that if he did what God told him to do, God was going to raise him up. Do you realize that you're, when you believed for salvation, do you realize what you believed in? You believed in the perfect finished work at Calvary, and it was Christ's faith that saved your soul. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? That's His faith. And all we got to do is believe what He did. That's pretty awesome. You say, I just doubt my salvation. Do you still believe what He did? Amen. Then it don't depend on you. It don't depend on me. Praise His name. Isn't that good tonight? Amen. So could we say this tonight? Can we just, let's just say this. Not that it's ever easy. Man, it's a struggle a lot of times for people to get saved. God has to get them to the place they see their need for a Savior and all that. They see their self-centers. And we ought to see more salvations than what we do. Every one of us that are saved could say, man, if I'd have known what I knew before, I wish, you know, I'd have done this sooner and all that. I wish I'd have done more for Christ, lived better for Christ, all that. He's worth it. But can we just say this? This is the easiest believing you'll ever do. Because it didn't matter what you did. It's what Jesus did. So, what about believing for now? I'm going to stop up at Acts chapter 20. Won't you go there with me? Acts chapter number 20 together, and then we're going to land at Acts 27, where the message is coming from tonight, with God's help. Acts chapter number 20. I want to show you something. So when we believe the Lord, there's times, let's just say it like this, even in the best of times, there's internal battles, isn't there? I mean, I don't know if I said it here, if it was, I said it somewhere in the last couple of weeks, I preached two or three different places. But here's what I know about the best country that's ever been, the most thriving country that's ever been that we live in now, at least that's what they tell us. And essentially, we've got it made. You'd think we'd be a lot happier a lot of times than what we are. But those battles, they're there, aren't they? Doesn't matter, seems like earthly riches as we could get and heap to ourselves, there's still battles and there's still struggles. And then you take it, turn it up a notch and you start walking with God and start trying to give sacrificially to the Lord, give your life to Him, give the things that we ought to give as He speaks to us and He says, I want that from you and I will take that right there. And then start following the Lord by faith, and we see how the wonderful things that God can do in our life. And when we start believing Him, here's how He turns the table on us. He says, all right, now you take that faith that I've given you and it's going to grow because you start exercising your faith to live for me. That becomes a little bit tougher than me believing on what Jesus did. Okay? And man, I'm going to tell you, I feasted, Brother Jason, brother, I think Brother Chris over tonight, but man, I appreciate the message you gave. I appreciate the message Brother Chris gave Sunday night. I left here Sunday afternoon or evening when it was full. I'm telling you, I've been eating on that stuff all week. Wasn't it good? And so here's what I'd like for us to see tonight is that as we walk with God, we have help in believing Him. And so, check this out. Are you at Acts chapter 20? Let's look. Let me make sure I got the right verse. Yeah, let's look here at verse number 22 together. Here's Paul's telling them, he's getting ready to go on a journey. He's essentially saying, I'm trusting God. I'm walking for the Lord. I'm walking with the Lord. I'm serving God. I'm on the journey God's telling me to be on. And he says this right here in verse 22. He says, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit. Now, I've read over that a bunch of times. I've read over that statement how many times? When I started understanding that we're bound, how about this? Can I put it this way? When we get saved, we're playing by a different set of rules than what the world's playing by. We're bought with a price. Our life's not our own. And so when God does the work in our life, I don't know how He does it, but somehow He puts something down inside of me that wants to please Him, Brother Jason. It's amazing, isn't it? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Man, I don't know why that's there, but all I know is I love Him because He first loved me. That's what the Bible says. And so we're bound by a different set of rules. We go for God. We live for the Lord. And this is the best way I know how to describe it. Here's the journey Paul was on. He says, I'm going bound in the Spirit. He goes, I'm bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Save, verse 23, that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. You know what Paul just said? I'm not sure what it's going to look like when I get over there. But here's what the Holy Ghost has been speaking to me when I've been praying. He says, when I go to that city, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to probably get beat. I'm going to get arrested. And then when I go to that city, it don't look much better. But he didn't bail out. God was helping him. There was something down inside of him that said, I just want to please God. And this is short time here, so I'm going to do what I can for Christ right now. Now, how many of us, you think about this, and you really need to do a checkup. I have to. I question my own self. If the Holy Ghost was telling me the journey I'm going on in every city I hit, that I'm going to be in trouble and in bonds and afflictions, I wonder how many times I'd have bailed out. Amen. You think about that. How many times are you in the Walmart line and the Lord says, witness to that cashier? Or go up and say this to that person. And you start shaking like a leaf. And it's just one person. Oh, I can remember a bunch of times I bailed out on the Lord. And I wasn't even in that big of trouble. We're playing by a different set of rules. We're bound by the Spirit. We're bound by the price that we've been bought with. Let's put it like this. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. We're constrained in this thing. There's no place to stop off, but we have help. You know these verses. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And then it goes on to say this, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. We've all got a ministry, brother. We've all got a life to live for God. And here's the good news. You're bound by the Spirit of God to be God's. That's some good news and some bad news all at the same time. All right, let's get into the message tonight. We'll turn over to Acts chapter 27. We'll bring this thing. Man, I'm flying. This is awesome. So here's what I'd like to preach to you about tonight a little bit. It's Paul's faith in the storm. And God gives us help when we need help. He requires of us to walk this walk of faith But He don't leave us comfortless. He don't leave us without help. He don't leave us without armor. He don't leave us without all that we need. Even though sometimes we feel like we're all alone. Sometimes we feel like we're not sure, but help's there. And so if you're on this journey for the Lord, my goal tonight is to help you see what Paul did to gain faith, be encouraged in the Lord. We can take these same steps. Let's read a little bit together in Acts chapter number 27. Look at verse number 20 with me. Here's where he was. So we read in Acts chapter 20 about his telling that he was going bound in the Spirit. And he found himself defending himself to the Jews, and he appealed as a Roman citizen and got put in jail by the Romans. And there's this whole big old thing going on that the Jews are trying to get rid of him. He's trying to save his neck. And so he gets put in front of several, giving his testimony. And right here in Acts chapter number 27, he ends up on a ship headed to Rome. And it wasn't it was many layovers, if you will. Here we are, it's in the fall time frame, and the seas are getting rough, and Paul, being in bonds, being in chains, how many of you know that when we're on our journey for the Lord, sometimes this journey takes us to places that we wouldn't choose, but we're there, bound in the Spirit. And so sometimes we end up places that with people that we love, warning them, don't do that, don't go there. But sometimes we get drug into some things that we wouldn't choose. That's where Paul's at. If you could really spiritualize his journey, he's on a journey, but he's a prisoner on a ship of 275 other people. And they sail to a few places, and they come to a haven, and they get ready to sail out and make the next stop. And he's told them right here, he said, don't do it. He said, I perceive this journey's going to be with much hurt and much damage, not only of the lading of the ship, but also our lives. Paul's warned them here, this is not the place to go. But just like in typical fashion, nobody's listening to the preacher. Nobody's listening to the warning. You understand what I'm saying? Hey, if you're one of those in your family that's trying to rescue your family, live for your family, love your family, and you're telling them the things of God, doesn't it seem like they're listening to everything else but the good stuff? Oh my, and don't we get trapped in some things many times that we don't want to be in? Sometimes, can we just call them this? They're the storms of life. Sometimes we just end up there and we think, my goodness, Lord, how did I ever get here? I thought this thing was going to be glorious. I thought this walk with God was going to be all that when I got saved, all that glory that come in my soul, I just wanted to live for Jesus. You mean it's going to be hard? Yeah. Yeah, but there's a better time coming. There's a better time coming, so just stick it out. Here's how Paul did. I'm finally with you. Verse number 20. Verse number 20, Acts chapter 27. The Bible says, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, notice what the Bible says. You ever been here? All hope that we should be saved was taken away. Now, it's not talking about salvation that they'd be saved. This is talking about their lives, being saved lives. How many have you ever come to a place like, I just don't know if I can make it another step? This thing I'm going through, it's too tough for me. That's where they were. The Bible says they hadn't seen sun nor stars in many days. It's a pretty dark place. The Bible calls it Euroclydon, a tempest. And this tempest meaning here in the Scriptures, it's a cold storm. You understand what I'm talking about? Spiritually, sometimes there's some coldness that comes in our life, a storm that comes in our life, and sometimes we think, man, I just don't know where God's at in all this. That's where they are. And the Bible says all hope that they should be saved was taken away. You say, I thought I was a pretty good Christian, and I'm just zapped. Here's what Paul did. Let's read on a little further. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Oh, here's the man of God. Here's the man of God. If you can just picture this, all hope was taken. He's in a pretty dark place too. 275 other people that didn't have God, and he did. But he's in a pretty dark place. But the way I read that in verse number 21, after long abstinence, there was some fasting that went on, and it appears to me that Paul got away and got with God. Paul got alone and got with God and got some help from God. And here's what the turnout of that was. He said, verse 22, he becomes the encourager. I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. And then verse 23, we'll try to take 3 points out of verse 23 and be done tonight. Notice, here's what Paul said. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. He goes on to this saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given them all them that sail with thee. I'd like you to see about three different things out of verse number 23 tonight that may help you on your journey with the Lord. As we take the faith that God has entrusted in every one of us, given a measure of faith, bought with a price, bought by His faith, purchased with His own blood, that we should be living for Him, that we should be walking for Him, that we should be listening to Him, that we should be obedient to the call, obedient to the voice, but yet there's everything else going on in the world. And every pull in this direction and every pull in that direction, and a lot of times there's storms on every side. Here's what the Apostle Paul did. Point number one, in verse 23, there stood by me this night the angel of God. Here's what I want you to see. Paul's faith was strengthened, first of all, by the presence of God. Okay? The presence of God. How important is the presence of God in your life? You do realize there's a place that you can live this life out and not enjoy the presence of God? Now listen, He said He'd never leave us and never forsake us. But there is some separation that we can put there. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, for your sins are separated between you and your God. That He will not hear us, He will not hear you. Can we say it tonight, not being mean, not being rude at all? And I realize I'm speaking to a Wednesday night crowd, but do we realize most Christians that we dwell among do not have a good relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? They never pray, never read their Bible. You know what we're neglecting when that happens in our life? We're neglecting the very presence of a holy God. Amen. Somebody said, I believe Brother Jason, it might have been you, maybe Brother Chris. But he quoted some preacher in their message this Sunday. One of them did. Said, I think the question was, do you know when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? And the best answer was, I don't always necessarily know when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I know when His presence is not there. And I'm just going to, let me just put it this way. This preacher right here, I understand it don't take me very long to start feeling my distance from the Lord. Not His distance from me, but my distance from Him. In my walk with God. It's so important to read, study, giving yourself to the Lord, keeping yourself in the love of God. So important for us to do that. And listen, when we don't, we neglect the very presence of God. Paul was in a place here in the storm, if you will, in the near shipwreck, the coming shipwreck, that he didn't have to get on his knees and say, Lord, I realize I hadn't spoke to you in months. I realize I hadn't, there's this in the way and there's that in the way. God forgive me of this. God forgive me of that. No, it was, he was able to go instantly into God's presence. Even when the circumstances were what they were and that all hope was being taken away from the circumstances, Paul realized that the presence of God was exactly what he needed. I've been in places before that I've needed. I realized I needed the presence of God, and I hadn't had the presence of God in a while. Y'all heard this saying, praying through? That's when it's time to do that. How about when the doctor visit comes and it's not good news? You know what I'm afraid of? I'm not near afraid of as I ought to be, but I'm afraid that the storm comes with my family, my children, somebody I love the dearest, and I'm not in the place I ought to be to get a hold of God right away. That's a little scary to me. The presence of God. The presence of God is so vital to make it through the storm, to have His presence. And notice, the Bible says the angel of God stood by him. I believe that Paul was so desperate in such a bad place, it may have been one of those times where he just got down on his hands and knees and he couldn't say a word. I've been there. Not ever known really what to say. Thankful that the Holy Spirit of God intercedes for us. But notice the Lord sent the angel of God. Now, if one of y'all tell me that today, going out the door, that the angel of God appeared to you, I'm going to be doubting you. Unless you tell me you're the man that Apostle Paul was. But now God will do miraculous things in our life. He knows how to help us, doesn't He? He knows exactly what we need. And His presence is so vital. It's the presence of God. There's something special about the presence of God. Listen, we can have the presence of God anywhere. Anywhere. And so not only Paul was strengthened by the presence of God, but look, he was also strengthened because of the purchase of God. Here's what he said. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am. He was God's. How many times have you needed that renewed strength? Here's what I feel like happened. I wrote a couple things down. Let me read them to you. I wrote this down. We hear of a renewed confidence that God has it all under control. I believe this is what happened in Paul's life when he got in the presence of God. He also got help in belief from God, because it was reassured in Paul's life that he was God's and he was right where he needed to be and should be, and God had it all under control. How many of you realize we're on the winning side? We're in good hands, and it's not all state. We're in the Lord's hands tonight. And so I'm His. Are you His? Amen. If you're His tonight, then He's got a plan and purpose for your life. And so when we pray, we're helped out. Our belief, our strength, our faith is helped out by the presence of God and knowing that we've been purchased by God. I wrote this down too. We hear a renewed confidence in the purpose and working of God in Paul's life. You see, sometimes we can hear the voice of God going into the trials or in our walk with God, but when we get in the middle of the battle, how many of you know it's easy to question what God said before you got in the storm? And you start doubting everything that you heard. Did I really hear the voice of God? Is that really what God was telling? And God, are you punishing me for something I've done? Helps you to get in the presence of God, knowing that the purchase of God, what I heard was Paul got some reassurance from the Lord. Son, I got this. It's the purchase of God. So the presence of God helped Paul. The purchase of God helped Paul. And lastly, there in verse 23, notice he said this, in whom I serve. There's some confidence. Listen, there's some confidence when you walk by faith, not by sight, not by feelings, when you say, I want to please God, let this Brother Chris, if he could get up here and replay that message on Sunday night, I loved it. Man, he hit my road right there. I went home full. But you know what he talked about? He talked about me the hard times when our faith is not always there, but we do stuff not by feeling rather, but because we know that it's the right thing to do. It's not always the Lord knocking us in the head to walk with God and to go for God. A lot of times you're just doing it by faith. It's believing God. And so here, here's you some scripture. In whom I serve, we see this one right here. In whom I serve, Paul's faith was strengthened because of the partnership with God. Let me read you some scriptures. Philippians 1:5 says this, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Has he started a good work in you? Absolutely. The real question for most of us is, are we letting him do the work in us? You see, there's confidence, there's faith building when we're partnering with God and walking with God and going for God. Even in the storms, he comes by and strengthens us by knowing and helping us know that we're in the very place that he told us to be, even in the midst of the storm. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So you can't claim that if you don't love God and you're not walking for him. Misused verse a lot of times. So he gave us the indwelling Holy Spirit that we can be a witness, 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not in our strength. It's in his strength, in his power. And that's what he does. So we believe God because we serve God. Listen, people that don't serve God can't believe God for these things. Here's the truth of it. A lot of times, they can't even hear his voice. Okay? And I'm not putting anybody down here. I'm just being real tonight. What's better, first-hand information or second-hand information? I tend to believe first-hand information a whole lot more than if I heard it from somebody else that heard it from somebody else, don't you? So which is better in our life as we're serving God and we're hooked up with God and we have that sweet fellowship with the Holy Ghost of God and we understand and we know when the voice of God is there and we're pleasing God and we're on speed dial with the Lord versus have such a distance in our life and been doing our own thing and forgot about the things of God and that coldness comes on. Here's what I know to be true. A lot of times we're waiting on the preacher or somebody else to give us a message from God, and I realize that's a gift from God. Don't get me wrong, but here's what I'm saying too, is most of the time it's a whole lot better for us if we're right in tune with the Lord day by day with our walk with God than having to rely on somebody else to pick us up out of the doldrums and get us sparked up and get us juiced up and get us recharged. First-hand information is a whole lot better. And so Paul was in the very place that he needed to be. Even though the battles was raging, he got to God and he understood by the presence of God, he got help. By the purchase of God, he got confidence. And because of his walk and his service for God, there was even greater confidence that the Lord gave him in his life. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And so, preacher, what in the world are you trying to say? Well, if you hadn't got it by now, I probably can't recap it. I know this. All my life, most of my life, growing up in a lot of good churches as a young man, I heard the plan of salvation so many times. And that's great. We should never stop preaching that. But Brother Jason, I believe this too. Along the way, I didn't hear enough that God wanted my life. I'm learning some things now in the last few years. And I've been pastor of the church over there for a while. And I've told this many times. I wish I'd have known some of the stuff early on in my life that I've learned now. We've got a responsibility to get that to our people. This walk with that the body of Christ should have sold out to the Lord makes a difference in this world we're living in. In case you hadn't noticed, it's getting really dark. It's getting really dangerous. It'd do us really well to give the Lord all that we are. And I promise you tonight, it's the best life you'll ever live. Even in the storms, even in the hard times, the Lord is there. And I want to end with this tonight. I wish I had time to preach it. But Paul believed despite a bunch of oppositions in this story. You know, he at first he said we shouldn't even sail. The man of God, the only out of 276 people, 275 other people besides him, he was the only believer on that ship, I believe. And he said to the masses, we shouldn't do this. But Paul stayed true to the things of God despite the skepticism that was out there. How about us? There's a world that's influencing, wants to drag you away, wants to influence your life every day. Paul stayed true to the things of God in spite of the skeptics that was there. He stayed true to God despite the storm that God was taking him in. Sometimes I feel like some of our walks with the Lord is conditional. That as long as things are going good, I'll stay right there. But if they're not going good, I think I might bail out over here. But there's so much more that God's looking to give us. And again, we're bound by the Spirit. We play by a different set of rules. God's taking us through those things for a reason. He's using things in our life to help other people many times. And so Paul stayed true despite the skeptics, despite the storm, and despite the situations. There was shipwreck. Remember, he was bound. He didn't have a choice to sit on the shore and wave bye. So long, suckers, I told you so. Sometimes, listen, as the people of God, we get drug into situations that are not in our control. But listen, there are people around you that need you to stick it out with them. Why? Because you may be the only light they got in their life. And it's a dark, dark world. That's all I got. I'm going to quit right there.